It is so good to see you tonight. I'm really excited about being back in the Lord's house. Earlier today, I was tired, and you ever get that way on Wednesday nights? I get that way. I was getting kind of tired, and I was just praying, Lord, help me. Lord, give me presence of mind. And he's kind of got a way of doing that. I notice that sometimes on Wednesday nights, I feel kind of tired, but by the time I get here, the Lord's kind of turned things around, and good singing, that don't hurt anything. Good fellowship, that really helps, and it's just so good to see you. And I want you to know I appreciate you. Those who come out on Wednesday night, I appreciate our whole church, but I want you to know you're a blessing to me when I see you. And I'd always think about our Wednesday night services and just really pray over those that the Lord would make it a blessing to you, that you'd always leave with something more. You know, this is a time, and I hope it'll come out in the message tonight, but you know, Wednesday night is absolutely a form of faithfulness. I want you to really think about it that way. I would say if there is a night or a time that was probably most missed in church, it's probably Wednesday night. I think that way through the middle of the week, everything's going on, and it's easier maybe to miss or maybe tired from work or what have you, but the beautiful thing about it is God rewards faithfulness, and he's the one who sees it. He's the one who matters. And I want you to know I appreciate you, and the Lord, I know he takes notice of these things. And if you will, let's turn to Joshua chapter number 6. Joshua chapter number 6, and I'll just read one verse from Hebrews 11:30. I'll just read one verse there, but mainly spending our time in Joshua. We kind of transitioned a little bit away from Moses. You know, I just want to tell you, church, this lesson has really been a blessing to me. It's a history lesson for the Jewish people, the children of Israel, and it's a highlight reel of things that God did during that time period, and it excites me. You think about the big things that he did during that course of time, and then you fast forward to the being written to the Hebrews, I believe, here at a later time in life, I believe during the tribulation period. It's a reminder of God's power. It's a reminder of his faithfulness. It's a reminder of who he is. And if people don't know who he is, now's the time to know. It's very obvious when you study this. I think when we see it, it's very obvious to us, or I pray that it is. But you imagine if you've never heard this before and you're trying to understand who Jesus is. Think about it that way, and you read this, and you see this, and one day you realize this same God is who we're talking about. To me, that's very powerful. It makes the Bible come back to life, and I'm thankful for that. It's just a powerful book. Sometimes we can overlook the Old Testament, say that we're not under the law, we're not back there, we're up here now, but I tell you, there's so many accounts in the Old Testament that really foreshadow what we see in the New Testament. And it's a blessing. I do have just a couple of quick announcements. One, Brother David Youngblood, one of our missionaries from Alaska, in Alaska, he is back in North Carolina and asked about coming to be with us. He said he wanted to give the church an update, and we've got that planned for a Wednesday night. It would be Wednesday, March 20th. So that would be the week after our conference. And that's the other thing I wanted to make notice of again. Hopefully just keep sharing it so we get it in our minds and just remember and invite somebody, please. But Brother Dan Freed will be with us that week, March 10th. March 10th through that Wednesday. I think it's the 13th there, that Wednesday night. So it'll be Sunday morning. He's going to take Sunday school. He's going to take the preaching hour. Then we'll come back at 6 o'clock Sunday night. And then 7 o'clock Monday through Wednesday night that week for Brother Dan Freed. And I'm really, really looking forward to that, and I think it's going to be a blessing and a help to us all. But tonight I want to preach for a few minutes on the topic of obedience, and I believe it will come through here and what we're talking about. I think sometimes it's easy to be obedient, and other times it's pretty hard. It seems like when I was a little kid, I didn't feel like I was that obedient. I was more, you know, waiting for the discipline side of things. You know, that's not fun. You know, you go back and you read where obedience is better than sacrifice, and I would say amen to that. I really would. But I think obedience sometimes is hard because it's like faith. It's something you exercise continually. You can't be obedient one time And then that's just going to cover you the rest of your life. You kind of have to do that on a regular basis or you find yourself in trouble. I mean, that's how it was with me. And that's a hard thing. And it takes patience. It takes fear. It takes reverence. It takes a desire to listen to what you're being told to do. First, you kind of have to maybe understand it or get a clear description of what you're being asked to do, and then just do it. Sometimes if it's just a one-time thing, you think, okay, that's done. But when you spread it out over multiple times, multiple days or years, that's when it becomes more challenging. Because the old flesh jumps in there and says, if you ain't going to do nothing, I'm going to do something. That's kind of how the flesh is with the spirit. If you're just going to sit here and do nothing, I'm going to go ahead and take over for you. Ever been in that situation? Your flesh ever, is it just me? Nobody else ever dealt with the flesh? I'm going to preach to me tonight. I'm going to learn something. I'm going to grab something. But think about that. Think about how that is. And so what we're seeing here, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30, I'll just read that. It says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. And so what we're seeing here, Paul is doing some reminding to the Hebrews. He's reminding them a history lesson. We've moved on from Moses into Joshua now and some of the things that Joshua experienced. And what I like about how this proceeds and how this goes is it's not just what he did in Moses' life. It's not just what he did in Abraham's life. It's not just what he did in Isaac's or Jacob's life. It's what he did throughout the entire history of the nation of Israel. And you see, when you see it that way, you see the examples that are being given, it's real clear to see who he's writing to when he's writing to the Hebrews. If you want to really speak to my heart, you would speak to me about my history in the United States and my importance of knowing that history. And you see, that is what Paul is doing here to the Hebrews, their own people. He's reminding them of things that God did for them. And when you think about what it would be like, I know it's hard to really try to fathom it, but what it would be like during the tribulation period, this group of people will be reading this. They will be seeking. They will have the choice to either take the mark or they'll have the choice to stay faithful to God. And I say right here, they're going to need some encouraging to stay faithful. They're going to need some reminding. Remember when God did this? Remember when God did this for your forefathers when he was faithful? He's going to be faithful now. I believe this is a reminding and for them to see this. But when we cross over now, we were talking about Moses and saw how they crossed over the Red Sea and how things had happened there. But now we've crossed over into the book of Joshua. What you would see, just kind of want to get us caught up just a little bit. Joshua chapter number 1, we see a new commissioning, a new leader. And that being Joshua taking over. And he had some big shoes to fill. I would say that was an intimidating thing for him to do. And anytime that takes place, will the group listen to me? Will they pay attention to me? So the challenges that he had have there, but God commanded it. God was the one doing the commissioning. Chapter number 2, we see the canvassing of Jericho. We see where they're looking in. They sent the spies in to see what they were looking at doing, sizing up the city to see what it would take. You go from that to the crossing over of Jordan. A lot of spiritual symbolism here. Crossing over from Jordan is crossing over into the spiritual life. Crossing over that river, how Jesus Christ crossed over that river first for you and I being the first fruits, but he wants us to have a life of spiritual blessing in him. Chapter number 4, we see the commemoration of the crossing. What mean you by these stones? Remember how they actually placed these monuments? So when the children, generations later, would say, what does this mean? Let me explain to you. You know, I think you and I today, one of the biggest things we can do to our kids and our grandkids and what have you is just really tell them of the things that God has done for us in our life. I was saved well before Josh was ever born. That's something he would have no clue about if I didn't tell him about it. And maybe some of the different things that happened in life before he was even born. And I see the importance of commemorating things that God has done for us, for our generations coming on, so they don't forget where they know where power comes from. Chapter number 5, we see the circumcision of the people. And that's a symbolism there of putting down the flesh. Well, that's one of the things that you'll see a lot
in the book of Joshua, and you will see a lot as far as symbolism in talking about enjoying the spiritual life is being able to put the flesh aside. You're not going to live in a happy spiritual life as long as you're living in the flesh. They're at enmity. There's a battle going on. You see that in the symbolism of cutting the flesh away and getting away from it and trusting in the Lord. And one thing that I wanted to read to us here in chapter number 5 there at the end, because Joshua and all this stuff that was going on, he had some big shoes to fill, but he had somebody that was leading him all along the way. Right before he's getting ready to tell the people what to do and what we're going to talk about tonight and study on tonight, he got it from good authority. He knew who was telling him what to do, and all he had to do is relate it to the people, right? And that sometimes, I think, can be some of the hardest parts, or one of the hardest parts. But we see here, Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. It's right there close to where we'll be tonight, just to kick things off. And it says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho," they were looking at the city and trying to size everything up and getting ready to make a move, "that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? Are you one of us? Are you one of them?" And that's a fair question. When you have somebody there with a sword, probably a source, a pretty scary source to be looking at, and he's wanting to know who he is dealing with. And what I like here about verse 14, it says, "And he said, Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord's army, am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. And Joshua did so." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word tonight, and God, I thank you for the power that it contains and what it means to us and how we can learn from it, apply it, and grow in our lives, God, and live the intended life, Lord, that you have us to. It comes in our application. It comes in our obedience. It comes in our faithfulness, our consistency, Lord. And when all the things that we could have our minds on, the giants in our life, the fearful things in our life, Lord, you've gave us so much to reflect on in your word. And God, I pray that you help us to do that in these days, God, these last days, that we would ever stay focused on you and not look at the problems of life, but look at the solution that you've given to us, God, and how time and time again you've made it true and you've shown us in your word how you will take care of us. You'll do these things if we'll stay in your will, we'll stay in your way, God, and I just thank you for that. Go with us tonight. Be at their church. Again, Lord, I thank you so much for those who attend on Wednesday nights. They're a blessing to me, God, and I pray that you give them a special blessing, God, upon them, God, Lord, for their faithfulness. Lord, go with us tonight. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, that's one of the things when you start off where we're going to be tonight in chapter 6 is, like I said on Sunday, make sure you're going in the right direction before you put the pedal to the metal. And that's a blessing to have that kind of reassurance. If you've ever faced something in your life that you felt like you needed to do something, there was a burden on your heart, but maybe you didn't know exactly what to do, but the Lord had placed that burden on your heart in such a way that you knew it was Him. And you say, now what do I do? You've probably come to realize that sometimes things don't happen just immediately. Sometimes it's over a course of time. And that course of time, if you're not careful, will cause you to question yourself. I've been there, waiting on, Lord, are you sure you want this? I mean, if you want this, why is it taking so long? Why is it not just kind of falling into place? Sometimes it does, but sometimes it takes time. I think sometimes the Lord is preparing us during that time. He is cultivating our hearts. He's showing us things that He's working with us. He's working on the inside. And if we're not careful, if things move too fast, we won't appreciate it like we should. I think sometimes it's in that the heat of it, as you're going through it day after day, when you're experiencing things, you remember how you felt, you remember what you experienced, you remember how God dealt with you, and that's not easily forgotten. But if it was something that happened just instantly, we would start taking a lot of things for granted, and we're bad for that anyway. just kind of to take things for granted. But what you're seeing here is the captain is actually telling Joshua what he is supposed to do, and he's talking about the holy ground. This land had been promised to them. It's overtaken. You'll see the people in Jericho. They're locked up tight. We'll see that right here. But this land was promised to them. It was theirs. It was theirs for the taking. But when you deal with the human element, we are so bad to go by these two things right here and not by this. Not by our faith, but by our sight. And we'll see it. And we fear and we fret. I've probably used this, but I just keep going back to when Josh would play basketball. He wanted to know two things. One thing, he wanted to know what their record was. We'd go travel and what have you. A lot of these people you'd never seen before. You don't know anything about them. You never see them again. But what's their record like? And then when you got there, he wanted to know how tall they were. He wanted to size them up. It was both those things, Brother Dale, that you could see physically. You know, I mean, I've seen some tall guys that were not good at basketball at all. But in those kids' mind, if they were taller than them, we're sunk. We can't compete. You see, that's just kind of how it is. When you see they went over here to size them up, you remember there's only two people. When they originally sent over to look over into the land, there's only two people that come back and said, you know what, I think we could take them with the help of the Lord. You see, that's how we should approach things. If the Lord has laid that burden on your heart to do something, we should not give him all the reasons why we shouldn't do it. But give him the faith that we should. I was going to say the assurance, but he knows our hearts. We can't fake that with him. You can't fake with the Lord like that. But now you kind of see where we're starting here. We're now into the conquering of the land of Canaan, the beginning of this. And they're going to go right into the central part of Canaan land there in Jericho. And it says here, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. So Jericho was straitly shut up. So they had it. They had the wall up, Brother Allen, because they knew who was on the outside. Now, it's kind of interesting when you think about how this looks. So from us, I think for me, when I study this, I kind of put myself in the position of the children of Israel. What's on the other side of that wall? What am I going to have to do to get across that wall? And once I get across it, what am I going to find? What am I going to fight? You know, in the Christian life, there are continual battles and things that goes on. It kind of goes in phases, what I've learned in my life. Sometimes those phases seem to be long and drawn out and maybe very hard. And sometimes it's fast. And it seems like victory kind of comes fast. But I kind of put myself on the outside looking in. And the children of Israel were mostly fearful. Again, you had two that said, I think we can. The rest was like, we can. Everything, we just can't do that. I see that a lot today with people, that same thing. But you know what is interesting about this is why Jericho was straitly shut up. It said, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. You see, from their point of view, they were locked up on the inside looking out and saying, look who's getting ready to come in. You see, that's kind of how I don't think we look at it a lot of times. I think we as Christians feel outnumbered, outmanned, outsourced. We feel like we're in the minority or what have you like that. But I tell you, if you have God on your side, you're not to be taken lightly. I won't go into Rahab so much tonight because I, Lord willing, plan to do that next week. But if you hear her testimony, you'll know exactly why Jericho was shut up, because they knew who was on the outside. Let's put it that way. The children of Israel had a reputation, but it wasn't so much them, but it was their God. If you see how the foes would read that, and they would see it most often, they would credit their God. They know, you serve the Lord, the Lord thy God. And so we can't compete with that. So they shut it up. They shut up the city to keep the children of Israel out. That's how it is. They were trying to secure what they had and not let it in, not let the people in. But we see the captain's command, and we see how that came apart there at the very end of chapter 5. But this is what the captain was saying in verses 2 through 5. This is what you're supposed to do. This is the plan of war. Now, I believe that you probably had some soldiers here. I don't think it's just men, women, and children. I don't think it's just civilians. I believe, if you really look at it, you had the armies of the children of Israel. You had men of war. And if you've ever been around men of war, I'd say anybody in the military, not all the people I was around in law enforcement, but most or a good portion of the people that I was around in law enforcement, when it was time to do a search warrant or time to work an event or time to do something, something major was going on, people were amped up and they were ready to go, for the most part. Some were fearful. Some were very bold and say, let's do this. It was like, in a way, almost preparing. If you ever played sports, Brother Mike, is like preparing for a game. It's like people were amped up. It's like, you know, we're going to win this. We're going to do this. And then if you've ever been in a situation where bullets and things are actually coming at you, you realize, I might not come back. So there is some fearfulness in that. It's not just easy. We can't be too hard on them. I mean, this is life and death for some people. In preparation for things. You know how the mind works. And this is what the orders were given to them. This is what I want you to do. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hand Jericho. He already promised it to him. And the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war. You see how that's mentioned there. And go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And the 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of city shall fall of the city shall fall flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. So we see what they're asked to do. That I probably have never really, I can't compare this to any other kind of battle scenes I've ever seen. The things that we went into, I'd say battle with, if you want to call it that, or scenarios with, we had a ram, we had shields. And we were going to knock that door down by force. There was nothing like this at all. I mean, the Lord, He has His reasonings for things. You see that so often. It's like what I see a lot of times is it's somewhat uneventful on the human side because God is doing it all. I mean, you think about what it would take to go out here and start knocking walls down. You would start thinking, I need a jackhammer, Brother Terry, a sledgehammer. I'm going to need some heavy equipment to knock these walls down. God didn't say anything about that. You see these people getting ready to go, these men of war. I'm thinking they're getting pretty amped up. And you imagine this is what the captain of the host is telling Joshua when Joshua's going to relate to his people. This is what I'm going to ask you to do. Now, the fearful of heart might be okay. This is good. Might not even have to draw my sword. I don't know. Let's just remember, these people are people just like we are. Different time, different era of time and what have you, but flesh is flesh. People are not that much different. A lot of times we have the same strengths, and similar weaknesses, so we can't really pedestal them too much. We got to think about our frame and how we are and how we are here. But I want to give us some numerology here because I didn't read any commentaries. You could probably go through and find things and somebody might say this, somebody might say that. A lot of times you get what a person wants to say, maybe amp it up a little bit, but I just went basic with what numerology means. If you look at the number 6, that means imperfection. Number 6, we know that to be the number of man. It's not a complete number. It's imperfect. But wow, that's kind of interesting. And if you think about it, I just put this out there, really scratching my head on it. Maybe you might have a better idea of some things, but you count 6 times, 1 time per day for 6 days. And then that 7th day, they're going to go around 7 times. That's 13. Brother, that's not a good number. That's unholy. That's an unholy number. I'm like, why can't it be 12, like complete or something? You know, it makes it preaching and teaching a whole lot easier when you're trying to do something like that. But 13, and I'm like, that's just it. If you put those numbers together, We'll go on a little bit further with that and see what happens here. We see what the children of Israel were asked to do, and now we're going to see what they actually did. And I hope we get a blessing out of this and can see this. Verses 6 through 14 says, "And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, Take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horn before the Ark of the Lord." Now we're seeing a lot of sevens. When it's getting close to the battle, we're seeing a lot of sevens now. Seven, that's God's number. That's his number of perfection. I like that better than six. Six is my number, and I'm imperfect. But anytime number seven shows up, he does it right. He does it complete. He does it perfect. And you see how they have the Ark of the Covenant. If you remember, I believe it had the tablets in it. It had the manna, the brass containing of manna, and also had the Aaron's rod. But it had some very precious things to the children of Israel in it, their history. It's no mistaking who we're talking about here, and I know that they would understand that and know that better. That means something to them and their heritage and the covenant that they have with God. In verse number 6, "And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, Take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on and compass the city and let him that is armed pass on before the Ark of the Lord. But the armed men first. And it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priest and blew with the trumpets, and the rear reward came after the Ark, and the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then you shall shout. I think that's probably the hardest commandment of this whole thing. Have you ever asked somebody not to say something? My goodness. I'm going to tell you something, but don't tell nobody else, okay? How long? How short? That's the stuff you tell. If you don't say not to say anything, you don't tell that. Who wants that? He said not to say this, so don't you tell nobody else. That's what happens. Is that not better? I mean, yes, you want me to take this army. We're going to put the army out front, the armed men out front. We're going to have the priest, the Ark of the Covenant. We're going to have the ram's horns. We're going to do all these things. We're going to have it all arrayed out. Oh, and by the way, please don't say anything when you get out there. How hard is that? There's a lot of people laughing. You know what I'm talking about. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. We're going to get you in a raid. What I was talking about these men that was going into battle. If you ever, I love pre-games. I love doing that. When I worked on campus, when I worked in the police department, one of my favorite things, Brother John, being an officer and having the badge and everything, I got to be right down there watching those fellas get worked up. The coaches hype them up, and you know what it's like being on the side. It's different than being up in the stands, isn't it? Yeah. That's where you want to be. That's where the action's at. And there's a lot of jaw-jacking going on. There's a lot of talking. It ain't quiet and calm. I mean, that's where the battle's at. That's where everything's going on. That's where the excitement's at. You have everybody arrayed, everybody wanting to do something. They're getting ready to do something. You just march around. You walk around the walls, and you just be quiet. Don't you say a word. Well, I tell you, that kind of takes the wind out of it, doesn't it? You watch a lot of sports. I use that illustration a lot. A lot of times what you see, they're in there talking junk to each other. Lord's saying, don't you say a word. Don't say nothing. You really want to take the flesh out of something, take the talk out of it. You know, he's talking about humility. Meekness, talked about that on Sunday. I tell you, if you really want to show the power of God to an ungodly world, show them meekness and faith in a just God. My God's going to handle it. That speaks volumes. It speaks volumes. He knocked down walls. But you see, that's what they were told here. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth." No, he's covering it. He's covering everything. "Until the day I bid you shout, then ye shall shout." I call this here, this is 6 days. 6 days of obedience. I think that was probably a long 6 days for the children of Israel. Probably equally as long for the people inside Jericho. What are they doing? You think about the first day they go out. They get arrayed with everything they've got. Everything that we listed here that the Word of God lists and laid all those things out. They get suited up for battle and they go out there and they don't even say a word. They just march around the city and leave. You know, I think maybe that first day there was some relief by the people inside the walls of Jericho. Well, they're leaving. You think the next day, here they come again. Do the same thing. You think about that. It wasn't just laps that you would go around real quickly. It took time. It took patience. I wonder sometimes, too, those that were in the battle, that the men of war and the different peoples, like, are we going to do anything or not? And what are we actually going to accomplish? How are we going to knock this wall down if we don't even have anything in our way, rams or things? How are we going to do this? Some questions. Verse 11, "And the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp and lodged in the camp." So they went around that first day and they made that pass and came back. Verse number 12. "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and the 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returning to the camp." So they did 6 days. They did the same thing over and over and over. I mean, maybe those on the inside thought, well, they're really not going to do anything. They're just kind of making a show. Maybe they're waiting to see if we're going to come out. Maybe they're just trying to scare us. They're not really doing anything. And you see, that's the beautiful thing about this. They were just asked to be obedient. Go around 6 times. You see, their flesh really couldn't joy in anything. Nothing. They didn't. And what were they really doing? Aside from being obedient, what were they doing? They couldn't even talk. They couldn't even brag about it. What's the fun of doing something if you can't go back and brag about it, right? I mean, that's how mankind is. You see, boy, we showed them today. Are we going to do something or not? What we have to realize today, what I pull from this, what you and I have to realize as Christians, we can't do anything. It has to be by His power. It has to be by His Holy Spirit. We can make a show, but we can't do anything without His power and without His presence. Nothing. We can't pretend that. We can't get worked up in the flesh and in church services or things that we think we might do or anything like that. And I'm not saying that's going on, but we can't do any of those things. But if we want to see people saved, we have to be surrounded by the Holy Spirit. We have to be, or people won't get saved. That's the way I look at it in this day and time. But they've encompassed the city. They went around and about, and they couldn't even say anything about it. But finally something happens here. There's a change. They finally did this. Their obedience, that 6 days of obedience, what God simply asked them to do, they did do it. And thank God for that. You see a change here, verses 15 through 16. I'll be closing with this. It says, "And it came to pass on the 7th day." Now you're talking about God's territory, God's number, a number of completion, a number of perfection. "And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day, and they compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. So they went around." You know, the people on the inside said, they're doing something different now. They're not leaving. They didn't go home. It looks like they're going to go around it again. They did this 7 times. You know, the people on the inside, I believe, were just as anxious as the people on the outside, maybe more so. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Boy, I think they's probably ready to shout by this time. Let's do something. Let's do something. If we can't fight, if we can't take a ram, if I can't hit somebody, if I can't tackle somebody, let me shout. They's probably ready to do something. But isn't that amazing how the Lord will allow us to be involved with things in His work? Here's the thing. We can't be fooled and think that we can do anything. But you know, the Lord is merciful, graceful enough. He loves us enough that He'll say, I'll let you feel like you did something. You just do what I tell you to do and I'll handle the rest. I promise you, He always does more than we could ever think that we could do. I know in our flesh we get impatient. We get tired of waiting. We want to push things on. But He's saying, you just wait on me. Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Verse 17 here, and I'll just read this. In the city, in the trumpets of Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein. To the Lord only Rahab the harlot shall live, and shall all that there be with her in her house, because she did hide the messengers we sent. I'm going to stop there because that does get into what I want to talk about next week. But you see, this is what I get from this. What man cannot accomplish in the flesh, God will accomplish in obedience. What you and I cannot accomplish in the flesh, God will accomplish in obedience, what He's telling us to do. I'm going to close with this. And you know, I know I've probably not spoken much about it and things like that. And, you know, just let the Lord's work be His work. But there is something that really came to my heart that I did want to share with the church tonight. And just thinking about this, I remember when we were going through the pastor's search, you know, talking about 6 days of obedience. That was a long time. That was a long period of time. Lord, what are you going to do? Lord, what is your will? What are you going to do? What is your will? Am I impeding your will? Am I in the way? Lord, should I this or should I not? Should I not be involved? What should I do? And I just remember thinking about it, how the Lord laid it on my heart. He said, you just stay and do what I tell you to do. You know, I tell you, He said, you just stay right there. And He didn't say move. I want you to know that wasn't easy. I didn't know what was going to happen. I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to do. But when the Lord laid it on my heart to be here, He never took it away. I wanted to share that with you tonight, because there's been things in my life when you look back and you say, well, yeah, that's what was going to happen. I didn't know that then, did you? You think about how God works things out. When God says, be faithful, when you don't know exactly what He's going to do, He's saying, be faithful. You just stay there and be faithful. I want to encourage each of us to stay faithful. I tell you, I'm glad the Lord laid this on my heart for a Wednesday night service, because I trust and I appreciate your faithfulness. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate what the Lord's doing. And I thank God that He led me here and what He's doing and how He's led things. And even during the hard times, He's still God and He's still looking after us. He's going to take care of us, and I appreciate that. I'll stop there tonight, and we'll close with that, but we'll have a time of prayer. I did want to tell you that I did speak with Brother Curtis yesterday for just a little bit, and he said they've had a really good week with Brother Zeke, or Little Zeke, and been a good week for him, and his numbers and everything, kind of doing like what they had wanted them to do and everything, and just getting ready to find out about their next trip and their next cycle of treatments. So let's keep them in our prayers as they continue on with that. So I did want to share that with you tonight. But does anybody have any objects of prayer or anything on your heart tonight?
Pulling at his lines, and she's said that, you know, she just about has to sit on them to make them settle down before a nurse can come in and help her. So there's a lot of critical things that goes on like that that, you know, just isn't brought up a whole lot.
Right.
We really need to keep her in our prayers.
Right. Amen. Let's remember Sister Ashley in our prayers, and little Zeke as he's trying to pull at his feeding tubes and what have you. And that's pretty crucial that they stay in place and do what they're supposed to do. Franklin Brown. Let's remember him in our prayers with cancer. Amen.
Brother Jason, my sister-in-law, Frieda, he's found out that she's going to have back surgery, so keep her in prayer.
Amen. Let's remember Frieda in our prayers with back surgery. Let's remember her.
Jason, I appreciate everybody praying for Christy. She's going through radiation treatments 5 days a week, and she's almost to the end. I mean, I know Riley came by to see us last Friday, and she had like 8 more. And she's just been getting sicker and sicker and having, you know, it's just really been hard on her. She does go to work, but sometimes she can't stay, and she'll go home. So just pray for her to stay strong and, you know, get through it. Maybe it'll be over.
Amen.
In a little while.
Amen. Amen. Let's remember Sister Christy in our prayers as she's taking treatments, and they're being pretty hard on her. She's trying to go to work and everything, but let's pray that she can stay strong through her treatments. Brother David Miller in our prayers with some health issues. Not sure what's going on. Any others tonight? Right, right, exactly. Exactly, that's right. The finale. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I think we need to let little Zeke pray tonight. What do you think? He's a blessing. I'm glad to see him. I look forward to seeing him on Wednesday nights. All right, all those that'd like to, let's gather around the altar. We'll have a time of prayer tonight, and we'll be dismissed. I'll ask Brother Terry, if you will, to lead us tonight.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this another day. Thank you for the opportunity to come to your house and worship this evening. Lord, we appreciate our church and the faithfulness of those on Wednesday nights. And pray for those that are sick and not able to come and meet with us tonight. Lord, we do ask, Lord, as we gather around the altar, Lord, that you'd have mercy on us. Forgive us where we've sinned against you, Lord, where we've had not the faith that we should. And Lord, as the lesson tonight, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. Lord, I pray that we could just listen to you, Lord, that you would instruct our steps, you'd instruct our path, Lord, that we would not go out in this world charging forward without you, doing it on our own. Or if anything teaches us through your word there, Joshua, Lord, is to trust on you and to walk with you and to stay with you, not to go out on our own. Lord, I pray that we can do that as individuals, Lord, as families, Lord, as a church. Lord, that we can put you first. Lord, that we'll stand by you and that we'll trust your word and trust your guiding hand in everything. Lord, do pray for our missionaries this evening. Lord, pray, Lord, that you help each one of them with the needs they have. Lord, that you give souls for their labor. For Preacher Bill, Sister Sharon, here with us tonight. Lord, that you'd help them in the schools. Lord, let's continue to pray that you'd help and give them what they need, laborers, Lord, the reception and the availabilities to get into schools and do what they need. Lord, I do pray, Lord, for upcoming revival and conference. Lord, just pray that Brother Danny Freed, that it'll work out with the weather and everything. Lord, we're really looking forward to that. So just pray that you'd work that out. We pray for Will Zeke. Lord, just pray, Lord, for the McKinneys, Lord, that you'd watch over them and help them, Lord, a lot going on in their lives. We lift them up to you, Lord, this evening, that you bless and guide. Lord, and just pray for this church. Pray for each one, each object of prayer lifted up tonight.